KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies, still 58 degrees. We look for it to be cloudy this morning, partly sunny by this afternoon, a high around 69. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Sheriff's officials in Taylor County report a Blockton man, 54-year-old Walter Meyer, was arrested this morning on charges of possession of a controlled substance with the intent to deliver methamphetamine. That's a Class C felony. Meyer was being held in the Taylor County Jail on a $10,000 cash-only bond. The Midwest U.S.-Japan Association is scheduled to meet in Omaha early next week, and Iowa's governor will be among six governors from the region to attend. Naoki Ito, the Consul General of Japan, who is based in Chicago, will deliver the opening remarks at the conference Monday morning.
I'm really hoping that through this conference, our partnership, our friendship will further grow.
Other speakers include Japan's Ambassador to the United States, the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Undersecretary for Trade, and the CEO of Kikkoman, the world's largest producer of soy sauce. Ito, the Japanese official based in Chicago, says the conference will also feature government officials from Japanese provinces.
So this is an opportunity to develop our two-way business economic dialogue.
The governors of Kansas, Indiana, Michigan, Nebraska, and Wisconsin will also be there. Governor Kim Reynolds is scheduled to attend the opening session on Monday. According to federal data, Iowa exported $1 billion worth of raw commodities and products to Japan last year. Japanese-owned companies based in Iowa employed 6,000 people in 2017, according to the International Trade Administration. Bison are helping to sustain a diverse native prairie in northwestern Iowa. More than 200 bison roam the Nature Conservancy's Broken Kettle Grasslands Preserve in the Lus Hills. James Baker, a land steward for the Conservancy, says the grazing bison give birds different reasons or options, that is, for habitat. Some birds prefer short grass, while others would rather nest in tall grass.
Different animals like different things, and by having the bison here, we provide, hopefully, as many species as possible what they like.
Since the Conservancy in Plymouth County introduced bison to the preserve in 2008, grazing has helped milkweeds thrive, attracting monarch butterflies. Baker said when bison graze, it opens up the ground and provides space and sunlight for plants to grow.
Without the bison or some grazer here, you'd have just basically nice level vegetation, which would support some species, but there's a lot of species that would be left out.
The Conservancy hopes to open up more of the 3,000-acre prairie to the bison in the future so they can graze on untouched areas, allowing more land to reap the benefits of year-round grazing. On one day each year in October, scientists catch the bison to get them up to date on their vaccinations. Officials at the USDA say cattle producers in Iowa should not be concerned about the recent discovery of a cow in the southeastern U.S. with BSE or mad cow disease. The agency's chief veterinarian, Dr. Jack Shear, says there's no risk of spreading.
The Veterinary Services Laboratory diagnosed an atypical H-type BSE in a six-year-old mixed-breed beef cow that was located in Florida.
BSE, or bovine spongiform encephalopathy, was first found in the U.S. in December of 2003. This latest case wasn't in its usual form, though, and was considered atypical.
So there's basically two types of BSE that we look for. One is the classical, and that's the type that we saw in England during the very huge outbreak that was linked to Creutzfeldt-Jakob in humans. This is not that type. This is a spontaneously generated type of BSE that occurs in all cattle all over the world.
The cow in the Florida case was destroyed, and Shear said it did not put the food supply at risk.
We do want to be transparent as we can be, though, when we find these, and to let the world know as soon as possible.
The Florida case marks the sixth time BSE has been found in the country. The first case in 2003 in Washington State was a case of the classical BSE in a cow that was brought in from Canada. The others have all been in the atypical category. According to the Iowa Beef Industry Council, Iowa is home to almost 28,000 cattle operations and nearly 4 million cattle. The beef industry supports more than 32,000 jobs and is worth more than $6 billion a year to the state. Well, Nyman Ranch, a leader in sustainable agriculture and humane livestock practices on Friday, celebrated the 20th annual Hog Farmer Appreciation Dinner in Des Moines by pledging to double their network and adding more than 750 independent family farmers and ranchers in the next 10 years. The company committed to supporting 1,500 sustainable family farms in the next decade. As part of the announcement, Nyman Ranch officials say they'll begin a recruitment effort and unveil the first-of-its-kind Gilt and Boar gift program for young farmers, recent college graduates, and those who've served in the military. More than $300,000 in sows have already been made available to qualifying individuals who are looking to get started in farming, grow their herds, improve their genetics, and ultimately make more money. Nyman Ranch began hog production in 1995 with one farmer, Paul Willis, from Thornton, Iowa. And since that time, the company has expanded to 629 hog farmers in 12 states. Part of the ongoing partnership between Nyman Ranch and the farmer is a yearly scholarship for farm families and their children to go to college without significant debt so they can return to the farm. This year, the Next Generation Scholarship Fund became a formal 501c3 and raised more than $150,000 for more than 60 donors, giving out scholarship awards to more than 32 students. Two of the students received $10,000 as part of a special Phyllis Willis Pioneer Award and the original Dave Serfling Scholarship. You can learn more by visiting the link under this same story at KJAN.com. Click on Programs and then the Ag and Outdoor category. The law firm has sued two clients for more than $2.5 million. The firm says it's owed from the more than $7.6 million those clients have recovered from Sioux City for a 2016 collision with a city bus. The Sioux City Journal reports that the Munger, Reinschmidt, and Denny firm sued Chad and Roseanne Plante on Tuesday, saying they'd agree to pay a one-third contingency fee if their claims against the city pertaining to the collision were settled without filing a lawsuit against the city, and they were. The firm's Stan Munger said the Plantes told him that the contingency agreement is against public policy. Roseanne Plante said that she and her husband have paid Munger's firm $380,000, and he is, quote, apparently determined that's not sufficient. Well, a foul odor reported in the city of Storm Lake Thursday was traced back to someone flushing garbage down their toilet. Tom Roos, inspector for the DNR Spencer Field Office, said the investigation into an odor complaint led city crews to a blockage at a lift station, which sent untreated wastewater into storm sewer near Kings Point Resort.
So the lift station's equipped with a screen to protect the pumps, and there was all kinds of debris from rags to plastic to actually a whole wad of drinking straws.
When the wastewater backed up, previous repairs developed a leak, allowing wastewater to reach the storm sewer and the lake. A DNR news release issued Friday cautioned people to avoid the northeast side of the lake for 48 hours. Roos is reminding people not to flush trash down the toilet.
Things get into sewers that aren't supposed to be there all the time, but it was pretty unique. I think we all know what toilets are used to flush, and any other debris that gets flushed down there, as we can see, causes pretty significant problems.
According to the DNR's news release, the city of Storm Lake has hired a contractor to plug the storm water line to prevent future problems, and the DNR will consider appropriate enforcement action. Officials say heavy rainfall has overwhelmed Waterloo's sewer system, letting untreated sewage reach rivers and streams. Waste Management Services reported three locations where sewage escaped manholes and six more spots where workers bypassed sanitary sewer lines into street drains in order to relieve pressure and prevent other spills. Service Director Steve Holmbecker said that the untreated wastewater has been heavily diluted owing to the nearly 8 inches of rain the city received this past week, thereby minimizing the sanitary concern. Rain runoff and groundwater are meant to go into storm sewers, while human waste and other contaminants go into separate sanitary sewer lines. But cracks in the sanitary mains and home footing tiles connected to the sanitary lines let groundwater infiltrate the sanitary sewer system during the period of heavy rain. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.